And joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline is the outstanding sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Terry Pluto. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
Well, let's talk about this Browns offseason now that, at least in your case, I've had a chance to kind of get big picture on it. And I want to ask you, on perception, how much you think this team has helped itself?
I think in the eyes of the fans, probably not a lot, because they don't understand really what the team's doing. And you know and I know, Vic, that the average fan, when he thinks football, what side of the ball does he think?
Yeah, always offense.
Offense. So they go, hey, well, where's the receiver now? They did sign Nelson the other day, but, of course, he was hurt last year. But when you look at what they needed to do, which is bolster the defense, and I went through – the roster from last year, as you did, and whether they played a 3-4 or 4-3, they were going to have to overhaul the linebackers and add some linemen anyway. So when you turn around and you sign Desmond Bryant and you turn around and you get Kruger, you know, those two guys to really pressure the quarterback, I think that's a, you know, enormous boost. Some of the other guys, I don't know how good Quentin Groves is going to be. You know, he seems like he's a role player, but a role player for a coach who knows him could be very valuable. So on that regard, I think they've helped themselves some. You know, but the draft is the Super Bowl for these guys.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the draft is where we learn maybe where the key components, the pieces that are going to help enhance this offense further. Because I think right now the offense improvement is in the hands, or at least, again, we're talking about perception here, in the hands of the coaches that have been hired, right? I mean, that's where it starts, to make the guys already here better. But I think the rest of it, that's where a lot of us are looking to see what this draft will produce.
Right, and we actually don't know fully what the new coaching staff thinks of Whedon and the other pieces. If they thought Whedon was a total throwaway, we'd have a different quarterback besides Campbell in here. You know, Campbell comes in to help him and can play in a pinch and as an upgrade over Colt McCoy. But you don't bring Jason Campbell in and say, well, this is going to be my quarterback for the next 3 years. So my feeling is they must have pretty good vibes on Whedon, but they also want to keep Whedon a little bit on edge and working hard. And I know they do love Richardson. We'll see how they, you know, if they could get some depth at receivers, but to me, the big thing is that they were not just going to throw a bunch of money around after, you know, C-plus players in free agency. You know, a lot of fans don't realize how the different sports work in terms of who becomes a free agent. Very seldom will you see a Josh Hamilton or a Pujols or these marquee names like in baseball become a free agent in football. That guy doesn't get to the market usually.
Right.
And so oftentimes you end up paying guys, like, for example, the B guys, like a Nick Swisher or a Michael Bourne. You end up paying him like they're superstars in football when they get there. And then, of course, 2 years later, that guy's hurt because it's football.
Right.
And so I think that their approach of, you know, getting the guys in their late 20s, guys coming off of rookie contracts, guys who are not worn down physically, was one that they set out to do, and that's what they did.
How do you see Brandon Whedon's development going now? Based on, again, last year, and you're right, there is no definitive sense mm-hmm. of how this coaching staff, how this administration really feels about Whedon, other than to say, prove something to us. How capable do you think he is of proving what they want to see?
You know, I just think in a better system that's more crafted around his skills, he's got to be better. And, of course, he's got a long way to improve, but, you know, I ran a bunch of stats right after the season about how of the, I think it was 40 quarterbacks that threw at least 100 passes last year, he was second from last in terms of being allowed to throw out of the shotgun formation. And he was a shotgun quarterback the whole time he was in college, and when you looked at it, he was throwing like 42% out of shotgun, and when you look at the teams coached by Turner and Chubb last year, they were over 70%. So right away, you got to figure, well, this guy's now in the shotgun 70% of the time. And that should help him, because actually Whedon's stats were better a year ago when he was in the shotgun as opposed to under center. And as one of the Browns coaches, when I showed him those stats and talked to him about it, he said, furthermore, usually when he was in the shotgun back then, they knew he was going to throw the ball. So the fact that he had more success out of the shotgun was even more impressive. And they think, have him in that shotgun with Trent Richardson right behind him, or right next to him, one or the other, you know, kind of a place, it's going to open up for both of the guys. And I think they are intrigued by that. You know, they want to play in the laboratory and see how it looks. But, you know, they're just getting to know Whedon now, and they don't really know his leadership. And I know they're working hard at keeping an open mind and not base it on what somebody said last year when he was a rookie or the former coaches.
I think the best and worst thing that happened to Brandon Whedon was coming in the same year as Andrew Luck, as RG3, as Russell Wilson. The worst part of that, of course, is that they did what they did, and he did what he did, and we know the gap in those performances. But the best thing is that those talents caused those coaching staffs, particularly in Washington and Seattle, to think outside the box a little bit, to do some of the things you were talking about in terms of formation, right? And be less conventional in the view and just say, hey, we're going to maximize what these young guys can do for us right away. And I think that I'm not saying that the Browns' current staff is taking its cue from the Redskins and Seahawks staffs per se, or even the Colts staff with Luck, but it's a factor. It's something that you have to think about in saying, okay, maybe with the right scheming and the right technical coaching, this guy will make some significant strides.
And also when you compare it to, okay, this is not a good quarterback draft, and we didn't really like the free agents that much. We're not sure how much better Alex Smith would be in the system than Whedon or some of the other free agent quarterbacks that were out there. So I think they decided, well, let's just work with this guy and find out. That would be interesting to see where Whedon would go in this draft if he were in it.
Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We brought up the signing of Donald Nelson coming aboard and looking at him as the prototype of this North Turner-Chudzinski offense. Tall guy, athletic guy on the perimeter. That's what they favor, and he seems like a really good fit in that regard. I don't know that they've picked up a number one guy here, but it looks like they've picked up somebody who is going to make some contribution. And now I wonder, for those who have been fans who've been starved, who've been asking you and asking me, when is this team going to add some veteran receivers? How is this team going to help its receiving corps? Do you think they've moved the needle a bit in that regard?
Yeah, if he has a year like he did, caught 62 balls 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that would have led this team in receptions.
Right.
There you go. And if you put him in the big scheme of, you know, Gordon running downfield, Little, and now this guy, what they really need to do is, and maybe they'll do it in the draft, is the pass-catching tight end. So frankly, we're talking Whedon. That stuff's going to help Whedon.
Right.
They never could get that slot receiver right the last few years. You've seen the different guys they've had in there, in Norwood, and I don't even remember who else was they were doing. They were trying. That's the point.
You know,
they never could figure out a guy. And so that's a positive. I'm intrigued by them. What I do like about the coaching staff is I think they're pragmatic pro coaches. By that I mean on offense, they're not sold on one system. And you've seen enough of, yes, they like to go downfield and they like a power running game, but there's so much room to roam under those two broad philosophies that and I just think it's going to make the offense has just got to be better this way. I just really believe it, even though they haven't done a ton with it other than Nelson, and we'll see what they do in the draft. You know, I really hope, though, that they go get a guard, whether it's in the draft or I don't know if there's anybody else floating around a free agency or trade. But Pinkston, I know he's healthy. Bloodcott's scare me, Vic. They scare me. And, you know, Greco, Miller, these guys are sort of backups. So I want another. You have a good offensive line, we'll make it better.
Yeah, with the two, that would be the other lingering question. Again, we could sit here and say, okay, they got to fix cornerback, they got to do something about safety, and oh yeah, that old guard position. And here we are, and we just said the quarterback thing is still got to be solidified. Where we can't call that solidified yet. We've come up with a reasonably, I'm going to call it long list, but certainly a substantive list of areas that need to be hit in one fashion, form, or fashion over these next weeks or months. And yet, this has been a busy, active team in free agency, right? I mean, they've signed a lot of players. They've gone into free agency, and I'm not saying they went after the marquee guys per se all the way through, but they certainly were aggressive with what they needed to do at the key defensive spots, at some of the key defensive spots. And as we sit here now and go through position by position, it's a pretty long list of acquisitions who figure, whether they're starters or role players, mm-hmm. Terry, to have an impact.
And they haven't blown their cap to bits either, which is important.
Yep.
I was impressed right after the Browns signed Bryant that there was a story in the Boston Herald said that guy was Belichick's prime target in free agency, because Bill doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes in free agency. And so that intrigued me to see that. And, you know, Kruger, for all the discussion about he's primarily a pass rusher, this and that, I had it in my notes. I think it's either 82 or 85% of the snaps he played. So I don't think that's just rushing the quarterback 85% of the time. The Ravens clearly thought he was good enough to have out there, run or pass, most of the time.
Right.
And so that's important to me. And I'm, you know, Banner sometimes says he's sort of simplistic mantras, but there's a lot of wisdom to some of it. And one being, you know, he thinks a big part of football is protecting your own quarterback and pressuring the other one, which is, by the way, why I mentioned the guard thing, to make sure that that line is where it should be. But they clearly are adding things to go pressure the opposing team's quarterback, and they're doing it with guys that hopefully will be here 3 or 4 years and be productive, not just a year or two, because you know, the NFL free agency to me is a minefield most of the time. You know, a lot of these guys that we see now are going to be tossed aside in a year or two. The Eagles, my goodness, they would like to get rid of, you know, almost every free agent they signed the last few years.
Yeah, and they have gotten rid of them.
They're like, whatever's left, they like to get rid of those guys too.
There's some left. But you're right about the minefield analogy, and that's why there's a large part of me. I mean, who knows? Who knows how this will all pan out? I'm not going to sit here and say, mm-hmm. yep, the Browns hit home runs with every one of these guys. We know that's unlikely, but with any team. But that said, I just think there's something about the methodical way they've approached this. And there was that sense that a lot of people had, okay, new owner in his first big free agency year is going to want to make the splash just to put his name on this franchise. That isn't what Jimmy Haslam went into this doing. He listened, as you said, to Joe Banner's mantras, and I think that's how they've done this. And there's something that tells me that the percentages will favor the Browns, that the majority of these guys can work out or can do some better things.
The idea of what they're doing, that they have a philosophy, is fine with me. I don't quite know how that's going to carry over to the draft. That's what's going to be intriguing, because we don't really have a track record for Michael Lombardi as a drafting guy, because, yeah, he did some of the picks here in Cleveland, but Belichick was doing a lot too, and Oakland's front office was always very muddled. And, you know, Joe Banner was more of the big picture guy than the one who was making the picks in Philadelphia. So I know they had that one draft together, I think it was in 98 in Philly, that was very successful, but we haven't seen a big long track record for those two, and I'm curious to see how that is. And hey, that is your chance to put a signature on this rebuild that they're doing. But I also am confident on the offensive end that Turner and Chud will do some stuff to make it better, because they've done it in other places, including Chud doing it here. I mean, to this day, still don't know how Derek Anderson had that good a year, even if it was for only 1 year. I still don't know how that Haley's Comet showed up.
Yeah, and the Haley's Comets of Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow as well. And we're all part of the Chud thing. Terry, great. Appreciate your contributions, and I know we'll talk again down the line.
Anytime, Vic.
He is Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.